You're listening to Across the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, the host. These days we're going through the scripture and continuing. We've done the first five books of Moses, and we're moving on to Joshua today. We've done the first five books of Moses in the past. You'll find them posted there at my website. Of course, in between those books, we've done other books of the scripture, some of the New and some of the Old Testament. But to continue the narrative from the beginning is, well, it's a good way to read it at least once. I think everyone should read the narrative of from creation through as far as you can get through the Old Testament, as long as the narrative lasts. And Joshua just follows after the five first books of Moses, much as you might read a novel. You could read the first books of the Old Testament to get the whole story from creation to the setting up of national Israel in the land and what happened from that point on. Anyway, we're with Joshua after they had crossed over. They're looking at Jericho. All of the inhabitants of the land are now very afraid, because for 4 years they had heard about how the Yahuwah, the God of the Hebrews, had dried up the Red Sea so that the children of Israel could escape Egypt's armies, and how all of Egypt's armies and chariots and men of war had drowned in that Red Sea. And then they heard how the children of Israel had conquered the nations on the other side of the Jordan, this wandering nation in the wilderness. And now they see, I mean, they're already afraid that they're just coming near the Jordan, but now they see that the Jordan is dried up, and that's a sign to them that that it's not going to be well with them, just as it wasn't well, that the God of Israel is still quite active, fighting before and for his people, Israel. So that's where we're at. Joshua here talking about how 40 years, they walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war that came out of Egypt were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of Yahuwah. And that's Joshua chapter 5 and verse 6. They didn't obey his voice, unto whom he swore that he would not show them the land which he swore to their fathers that he would give us, the land that floweth with milk and honey. So they didn't see it. They all perished in the wilderness except for two. And those two were, and of course they're the men of war. That means that their children might live to see it. So, but all those men who were of age to war, perish there, except for, of course, Caleb and Joshua, who are the only ones who survived of that generation to pass over the Jordan. It says, their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their place in the camp until they were whole. So they all had to heal. And Yahuwah said to Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And of course, what does Gilgal mean? Well, I guess it has something to do with removing the reproach. Chapter 5, verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. So the Passover they kept on the 14th day. It was the 10th day when they had finished passing over, the 10th day of the first month, when they had finished passing over the Jordan. They did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched cakes in the self same day, And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn. And actually the corn would be grain or meal of some sort of the land. Neither had the children of Israel any manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So they had, for that 40 years, had been supplied with manna. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the hosts of Yahuwah, I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of Yahuwah's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And I'll give you a good clue as to who this captain of Yahuwah's host is. Who else would it be? Who else would receive worship? An angel would tell him, No, don't worship. I'm a servant too. If it was a man, he would have stopped. I'm your fellow servant. No, this would be pre-incarnate Mashiach, the Messiah pre-incarnate. That's what I would hold to here. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in, and they locked their city up tight. And Yahuwah said to Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. So they're to go around the city 6 days, and once each day for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of Yahuwah. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let them that are armed pass on before the ark of Yahuwah. And before I move on, there's a little debate going on. And I say it's a little debate because not many people even realize there is a debate. And of course, it has to do with the Sabbath. And how could the children of Israel work on the Sabbath day? And I don't really have a problem here. You could fight on the Sabbath day. You could defend yourself on the Sabbath day. There's not a problem. I don't consider warfare work. So that whole debate is kind of moot for me, because when it comes to warfare, it is not work. It is not servile labor. It is in a class all by itself. Warfare is not servile work that has anything to do with the Sabbath. So for me, that idea there puts that debate to rest. So as far as using this 7-day thing as part of the debate for when the Sabbath is and so forth, it doesn't even fit in, because warfare is not work. You were to warfare on the Sabbath. You didn't have, if you're in the middle of a war, you didn't say, okay, well, our enemies are going to war on us this day, but we can't war because it's the Sabbath. No. Warfare is the same is much more important than pulling your ox out of a ditch. And if you were allowed to pull your ox out of a ditch, your ox was your means of livelihood. So the applicability of the ox in the ditch, it can be far-reaching. If you have to save your livelihood on the Sabbath, well, then you were allowed to do that. You were supposed to do it. It would be a great neglect if you did not do it. So whatever your ox is, if it falls into a ditch on the Sabbath, you better pull it out. And some people, I would dare say, even need to work on the Sabbath because they'll lose their livelihood if they don't. But let each man stand and live and judge according to his conscience, because many people have for a livelihood things they should not be doing anyway, and they need to trust in the Heavenly Father by letting go of those things and trusting that He will provide for them. But that's a whole other topic. So it shall come to pass, and we read that, Joshua the son of Nun called the priests, said to him, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of Yahuwah. Chapter 6 and verse 7. And he said to the people, pass on and pass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of Yahuwah. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before Yahuwah the Lord and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And the men and the armed men went before the priests that blew the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then you shall shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came to camp and lodged in the camp. So that was one day. They went around once, and they were silent, except for the priests and, the noise of their going around. And Joshua rose early in the morning. The priests took up the ark of the Lord, even seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rearward came after dark, after the ark of the Lord, and the priests going on and blowing the trumpets. And you could imagine what it was like for 6 days, this going on, what it was like for the people inside the city watching this. Fear and trembling. And perhaps after a few days, they might have relaxed, going, oh, they're just going to march around and, blow their trumpets. So the second day, they compassed the city once. They marched around it once and returned to the camp. And so they did 6 days. Chapter 6, verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times instead of one. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout! For Yahuwah hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to Yahuwah. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are within her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves a curse when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Of course, what was the accursed thing? It was the abominations of the people of the land and their idolatries. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto Yahuwah, and they shall come into the treasury of Yahuwah. And the people shouted, and the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she has, as you swore unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of Yahuwah. So they just heaped up everything, everybody, every animal, every man, woman, and child, all of the wood, everything, except for the gold and the silver and the brass. And they heaped it all up and they put it all on fire. I mean, the city utterly destroyed and burned. They burnt the city with fire. Chapter 6 and verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelled in Israel, even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent out to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at the time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that rises up and buildeth this day this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest shall he set the gates thereof. So the Lord, so Yahuwah was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. And what he was saying was anyone who attempts to rebuild Jericho will do it the peril of their own offspring. That's what he said. That was the curse that he placed on Jericho and anyone who attempted to rebuild it. Of course, there would be no one left to rebuild it, would there? Chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of Yahuwah was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, and chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of Yahuwah until the eventide. And he and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, come, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us to the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? That was a question. Would to God that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut us off and our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And Yahuwah said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. So this word to dissemble is to, they have dealt falsely. Someone has taken something that didn't belong to them, basically. So let's find out what happened here. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith Yahuwah, God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which Yahuwah taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which Yahuwah shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to Yahuwah, God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against Yahuwah, God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And we'll pick up here when we get back from this break.